we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. My name's Bob Arthurs. I don't know if I say that every day, but I think I say it most days. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to WMIE 91.5 FM. Or if you're listening at 10:30, you are listening on WWBC 1510 AM. We want to thank you for spending the next half hour with us, or 15 minutes with us, or 5 minutes, however long you may be able to listen. We are grateful for the time that we have to speak into your life, the living Word of God. And so today we are going to be wrapping up our study in the book of Isaiah. And it's been quite a time that we've had here, a number of broadcasts, probably a year or better that we have been doing the study on Isaiah. I remember one time I was asked to teach the book of Isaiah along with the book of Ezekiel and the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations, and they were going to give me 13 weeks to do it, and I said, you know, I'm just not going to be able to do that. That's just too much material, too little time. I can't even hardly read that much material in that span of time. And so we've spent a little bit of time. We haven't covered every verse. We're not going to cover a number of the verses here in chapter 66, but we will launch into a new study on our next broadcast. But let me say thank you to, first of all, today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If they can be a blessing to you, the fine folks there, Dennis and Carla and their staff, they will do a great job. They are able to go all throughout the county. They repair every type of unit, even the new split units and things like that. They can handle package units. They can handle traditional condensing units with air handlers on the inside of the property. They can help you with your heater, whether it's gas or electric, however you know, whatever system you might have there. And they can also help you with electrical needs. And if they can be a blessing to you, give them a call, 632-9538. They are people of their word, and they are people of the word. And so I encourage you to give them a call, 321-632-9538. And as always, if you call them, please make sure that you mention the Refresh Radio broadcast. It's always good for them to know that the listeners of this program are paying attention and appreciating those who bring this message into people's homes and lives on a daily basis. So we're going to talk about a number of things today as we get into Isaiah, the 66th chapter. I'm going to begin in reading in verse 14. We're going to read all the way through the end of the chapter, but we're not going to touch on everything today because we're going to be wrapping up this study. Verse number 14 says, "When you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like grass. The hand of the Lord shall be known to his servants, and his indignation to his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword the Lord will judge all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Those who sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go to the gardens after an idol in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination in the mouth, shall be consumed together, says the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape I will send to the nations, to Tarshish and Pul and Lud, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Then they shall bring all your brethren for an offering to the Lord out of all nations, on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on camels to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord, and I will also take some of them for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. So let's touch a little bit on this. There is a distinction in the manner in which God deals with his servants and those who prefer idols. The New International Version says, those who cling to worthless idols shall forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And so idolatry is a very serious issue. God does not deal with everybody in exactly the same manner. He makes the same offer to every person, that whosoever will, that if anyone come to him, that he will not reject them. If anyone will come and ask him to forgive them of their sins, he will do it. God deals, he makes the same offer. It's a universal offer, but it is not a universally accepted offer. There are many people who reject God's way of doing it, and they choose to do it their own way. They choose to sanctify themselves to idols instead of sanctifying themselves unto God. Sanctify is a fancy religious word that means set apart for a purpose, specifically a holy purpose. And so you either set yourself apart to God or you set yourself apart for idols. You consider it a holy act to set yourself upon that. So there are people who are set apart for the pursuit of mammon, which means money, or their greed. They're in a pursuit of greed, which is identified as idolatry in the New Testament. There are some people who are in the pursuit of the idol of pleasure. There are some people who are in the pursuit of immorality. There are a lot of people who are in pursuit of toys and things like that. There are a lot of things, and that's just the tangible goods. That's just the hedonism of this society. But there are a number of people, and they would rather worship anyone or anything other than God. And God's not going to treat those people. They're not going to see the hand of the Lord. They're not going to see the peace of God. They're not going to see the healing that comes. They're not going to experience the glory. Instead, they will experience the indignation, the anger, the wrath of God. And so all of a sudden people say, are you a hellfire and brimstone preacher? Well, I'm a preacher that wants you to know that you don't have to experience that. You can make a different choice no matter how long or how frequently you've made the choice to reject God. There's a verse that says God's wrath is equal to his mercy, and I want to thank him that for the tremendous mercy and grace that is available to us. I want to thank him that it is so magnanimous. But when I see that verse that says his wrath is equal to his mercy, that means that I don't want to experience that, because it too is proportional in relationship. And some people say, well, God would never get angry, would he? And I can point you to the scripture where it said that Jesus, in his righteous indignation, operated in a manner in which he cleansed the temple. So you don't want to experience his anger. When I look and I study the great tribulation that is talked about, and I realize that that is when not the wrath of man is going to be displayed. It's not going to be the wrath of the devil that is going to be displayed, but it is the wrath of God that is going to be displayed. I'm thankful that God will have already made a way of escape for his children. So when I tell you that you don't want to be part of the great tribulation, I mean you really don't want to be a part of that great tribulation. There are some people that say, well, serving God with my whole heart right now, that's not really all that big of a deal. If I don't make it in the rapture of the church, then I will just be faithful and committed to him during the time of the tribulation. And my response to that is always the same. Do not deceive yourself. If you cannot find it in yourself to serve God now when it is easy, without opposition or with limited opposition, you will not serve him when it will cost you your life. And so do not deceive yourself. Instead, make a commitment and say, God, would you exhibit the grace of God? Now, I will also say this. There are a number of believers who say, you know what? I just don't think I could ever go through that. You can't go through that in your own will. The only way that you can go through that is with the grace of God. And you can trust God that he will give you the grace that is necessary to live for him today. Whatever might come, God will give you the grace that is necessary. And so here again, it talks about that they are sanctified and they even purify themselves so that they can offer their worship to idols in the midst and disobey even the simplest of God's commands of what not to eat. That all goes back to the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were told they could eat anything that they wanted. They just had to stay away from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I mean, massive, massive availability. And yet there's one tree and they couldn't stand not being able to lay hold of that. Is it okay with you if God puts some boundaries in your life that are not there to be punitive? They're meant to be protective. God says in verse number 18, for I know their works and their thoughts. Okay. And so it doesn't matter if you do it in secret. It doesn't matter if you do it in public. Whatever you are doing, God knows it. And I want you to know that he knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And so it's very important for us that we allow God to be the focus of what we think about, of what ministry he would be able to utilize us for, to think on the things that are virtuous. God knows what you think about. The Bible talks about people who lay awake on their bed at night thinking and devising new schemes of evil. How does God know that? Because he knows what they're thinking. And so, when was the last time you meditated upon the Word of God? Now, I want you to know that that is not in the Eastern religion concept of meditation where you empty your mind and just fill it with whatever comes in. Instead, you fix your mind on the Word of God. And you said, I am going to focus on this and I'm going to get this into my innermost being. I'm going to allow the Word of God to fill up my heart and my mind. When you hide the Word of God in your heart, it causes you to not sin against God because you know what God is pleased with and what he is displeased with. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So God knows what you think and he knows what you are doing. And it says that every nation and every tongue that they are going to be all gathered together. There is going to come a day of accountability. There's going to come a day when we stand before the throne of God. And so we need to also realize, he said, I will set a sign among them. He said that there are going to be people who are going to go and they're going to take the glory of God, the word of God to the Gentiles. And folks, I want you to know that Jesus said that the gospel of the kingdom shall be proclaimed to the ends of the earth and then the end shall come. Thank God for missionaries. But it is not just the ends of the earth, far, far away. six miles away from our church. You can find the end of the earth. You can find that you are going to be right there at the ocean's edge. And so, you know, to some extent, you've reached the end of the earth. There needs to be a gospel ministry in Cocoa Beach. There needs to be a gospel ministry in Cape Canaveral. There needs to be a gospel ministry in all of Central Brevard County, Melbourne Beach, all of those places. There needs to be gospel ministry. God is looking for people that will go and explain the glory of God. And God says, as a result, that there is going to be a mass influx back into the nation of Israel, into Jerusalem, that the children of the Israel people, that they are going to flood back into the promised land. And we can see that taking place in our day and time. It is a reality. Okay, let's look down at verse number 22. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. God is not, I say this, and I mean it with every connotation that you can imagine. God is not looking for a one-night stand in your life. He is looking for a forever relationship. He is looking for a covenant relationship. He is looking for a relationship and a love that will remain and will endure. He says, so shall your descendants and your name remain. Have you given any thought whatsoever to what sort of legacy you will leave? I was reading through the Old Testament not long ago, and there was a statement in it, and it's kind of rattling. It describes a king, and it said, and he died to no one's regret. There was a king, and he was so wicked that when he died, no one shed a tear. He passed, and he had left no legacy that people said, you know what, I wish he was still around. So what sort of legacy will you leave? You know, there's a lot of creative ways, you know, and people are now beginning to appreciate some of those older family photos and things like that, which are really helpful if you know who people are. I remember them. You know, we tend to live in the moment right here and now, but we need to also realize that there are people who've gone on before us. I had a great grandmother, a grandmother and her family, that they, and then my mom, that all were raised in the Assemblies of God. And I'm thankful for that legacy and for that heritage. I'm thankful that I was able to pass that on. So, you know, now we're 6 generations of Pentecostal believers in my family. And on my dad's side of the family, they didn't start off Assembly of God. They started off in another denomination. But now I've got numbers of cousins who have gone on and have done Pentecostal ministry throughout the world. And I'm thankful for them. What sort of legacy will you leave? Will you just leave a bunch of money? Because they'll spend that, they'll burn through that. I know people that they inherited large sums of money in their 20s, and by the time they were 30, they were broke. Well, that's not a legacy. We need to leave a legacy that, listen, it says, so shall your descendants and your name remain. The key thing that I see in that is in verse number 22, it says, remain before me. I pray that you will leave a legacy of prayer, that people will know, hey, my mom was a person of prayer. My dad was a person of prayer. My grandmother, whatever, that they were people who knew how to pray. and that they weren't going to let go of God no matter how serious the situation got. These verses, so shall your descendants and your name remain, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Here, God is saying that there is going to be a constancy in worshiping in the presence of God. And then in verse number 23, that is contrasted with an unending agony. I don't know about you, but I am really looking forward to being able to worship God without fatigue, without distraction, without anything else going on. I'm looking forward. God says there's going to come a time where the worship is never going to cease. It is going to go on month after month, week after week. It is not going to stop. People are going to come. They're going to worship before me. There's going to be a constancy about it. There's going to be an intensity about it. It's not going to be a have-to reality. It's going to be a get-to privilege. Now let's look. And it says, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh. You see, there is one of two realities, two eternities that you and I will experience. One is going to be the glorious experience of unending joy, peace, holiness, and worship in the presence of God in heaven for all of eternity. And the other reality is an agonizing, never-ending, torturous experience apart from the presence of God. Listen, there's a message. I haven't preached at church yet. I'm preaching a series right now on the sounds of heaven. And when I started that series, that series got interrupted with Pentecost Sunday, and it got interrupted with our 65th anniversary. It got interrupted with Father's Day. And so I'm going to share some more on the sounds of heaven. But part of that is contrasted with the sounds of hell. And Jesus said in the scriptures that there was a rich man and there was a poor man. And the poor man's name was Lazarus, and he was a beggar, and he begged for food outside the rich man's gate. And it said that the rich man went to hell. By the way, it does not say that this is a parable. It isn't identified as a story to make a point. It describes names and details. And listen, when that rich man went, it was a place of lack. It was a place of thirst. It was a place of torture. And it was a place, if I can say this, it was a place where all of a sudden priorities were established because he was enlightened to the new reality. And that agony never, ever ends. And as he conversed with Father Abraham, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in the water and just touch my tongue. That would bring me a little bit relief." And he said, "I'm sorry. He's unable to get to where you are from where he's at." And he said, would you let me go back and tell my brothers that they don't end up in this place?" And Abraham said, "I'm sorry, but if they do not believe the law and the prophets, they will not believe even if someone rises from the dead." You see, not only is hell a place of agony, but it is a place that all of a sudden you when you get there, you say, "I don't want anyone to come here because I wasn't created for this place." You were created for the glory of God. You were created to live in existence in His presence for all of eternity. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It is the reason it is so agonizing is because you weren't created there. You weren't created for that place. But if you choose, that is your priority. If you set yourself apart for evil instead of for God, He will let you have what you choose. I had a saying for my kids that says, sometimes what you want really isn't what you want. And you really don't want to do it your way. You want to do it God's way. It's a place of holiness, of comfort, of peace, of glory, not a place of agony. And so we've gone through Isaiah 1 through Isaiah chapter 66. You've heard about the goodness of God, the greatness of God. You've heard that contrasted. You've heard about God, how He will renew the strength of those that wait upon Him and give them abilities that they never could have experienced on their own. But verse number 18 of Isaiah chapter 1 says this, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I want you to know, the invitation is still available. God says, your sins are a reality, but I can make them part of your history. I can make them go away. They don't have to remain. They don't have to be the thing that separates us for all of eternity. I'm willing to put them all away because my Son Jesus shed His blood so that you and I could be reconciled. I want to encourage you today, take advantage of God's generous, generous offer of salvation and forgiveness and holiness. Father, right now, I don't know who may or may not be listening to this program, but Lord, I want to thank You that it is Your will for us to spend eternity worshiping around Your throne with You dwelling in the midst of Your people. Jesus, I want to thank You for paying the price and making forgiveness available for us. God, without You, I'm a sinner. I cannot be good enough to earn my way into heaven. I cannot be famous enough or rich enough to get there. I will not get there because of position. I will only get there because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that every person here would avail themselves today of the beautiful privilege of having Jesus as Lord of their life. Lord, I pray that not one person would experience eternity apart from You that is hearing the sound of my voice. I pray that you have a great day. If you've prayed that prayer, give us a call, write us an email, contact us on Facebook. We would love to rejoice with you. God bless you. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."